Hey, welcome to Christ United Methodist Church. No matter who you are or where you're at, whether you're up early or out late, we pray this message is right on time. Thanks for tuning in.
For those who weren't with us last week, we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of a three-week sermon series that I've entitled Another Level. And this series features three seemingly small, insignificant figures of faith who dared to see life differently, who dared to see the landscape differently. They just didn't know that when they took steps to see the landscape differently, that they end up changing it ultimately. Last week, we canvassed the life of that Shunammite woman who maybe you were introduced to for the very first time last week. She made a decision given the power of the man of God and the word that was coming from that space there in Shunem through Elisha, that she had to go beyond conversation and casserole. She opened up her home, and by virtue of opening up her home, her heart was changed. And when her heart was changed, her house began to look different. And she made a decision to build what? Another story. Another story, not for herself, but for the sake of God. But she just didn't know that when she chose to live life at another level and to build another story, a room for the man of God, that the man of God was trying to add unto her story. And so when she built another story, she realized she was part of another larger story. That she was blessed with a child that she couldn't have. And we learn something from those seemingly small, insignificant figures of faith. That when our story gets interwoven with God's story, and God's story becomes our story, we end up changing His story. That it's no different for us as a people of faith today. So last week we canvassed a Shunammite woman. This week we learned something from a name that you may know, and I'm hoping that this text is by no stretch unfamiliar, but if it is, I know that you'll be blessed. I come expectant that I'll glean something from this word. I hope that you're ready to receive this word, that you've come into a place prayerfully in a posture to say, Lord, help me to see my life in this word in a brand new way. Help me to see it differently, because it's amazing what happens, the view that you glean when you do that. I want to bring you right away to Luke chapter 19, the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, starting in the first verse. We're going to read all 10 verses, but I'll be jumping around just a little bit here in the beginning. But I want to bring you to Luke chapter 19. You'll find it in the Pew Bibles before you or follow along on our screens here. Hear these words from the 19th chapter. We skip from 2 Kings all the way to Luke, and we see here that Jesus is on the move. Jesus has left Jerusalem, and he's on his way passing through Jericho. And the scriptures start us by saying that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. But there was a man there, and that man's name was Zacchaeus. We know a few things about Zacchaeus. We knew that he was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in his stature. And so what he did was he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree, scripture says, because Jesus was going to pass that way and he wanted to see Jesus. He climbed that sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. So we stop momentarily. I offer you a living word of God for a living people of God, and we say,
thanks be to God.
May God bless the reading in the receiving of this word. So I'm sure the bystanders seethed when they saw him slither ahead like the snake that he was. I'm sure they seethed when they saw Zacchaeus scamper on ahead of them. There was no surprise, though. Should have been surprised. The scriptures don't come right out and say it, but Zacchaeus had lived his life in a hustle. His whole life, he hustled. He ran. Zacchaeus' life goal was to get ahead. It was no surprise then for the people to see him running. Everybody knew. Everybody knew the kind of things he was up to. And I can hear them now. Yeah, there he goes again.
There goes Zacchaeus scrambling to steal the spotlight as if he hasn't already stolen enough. Our money, our dignity, our respect, our pride. Heck, Zacchaeus, he'll do anything to get ahead. He'll do anything to deepen his pockets, even if it means picking ours.
You see, church, Zacchaeus was so good at running. He was so good at running his scheme that he slithered his way to the top of the chain to make chief.
Chief tax collector. Of all tax collectors, he was chief. Now, you have to understand something about tax collectors in that day, or else you'll kind of be in the dark. You see, Rome was really smart as the occupying superpower. And what they did, because they were the occupying superpower, was they said, we'll let you observe your customs. You can live your life as long as you don't rock the boat, as long as you don't upset the apple cart or upset the Roman imperial cult. Live as you live. But if we're going to be your protector from a foreign army, there's going to be a tax for you to live in the land that's become ours. And so what Rome did was they hired people from their own little communities to collect from their own people. They hired Jews to collect taxes from other Jews. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector once upon a time. And what they would do was they would go house to house and they say, we're here at a certain time in a season to collect the tax is due, but they would always collect more than what was required because they would take a little off the top for themselves, and they became wealthy that way, and everybody knew what they were doing. Zacchaeus was so good at his scheme that he was promoted to chief, which means that he had other tax collectors serving underneath of him, and so he would skim a little top of, a little off of them, and they would skim a little more from the people, and he would skim a little more off of them. Scripture says he was a chief tax collector and was rich. He spent his life peddling, profiting, peddling and profiting, collecting and climbing, collecting and climbing. And oftentimes we find ourselves in a rut because many people that you talk to in the world today think that the point of life is to peddle. And we're a people who peddle. We're busy. Some of us have took everything that we could do to get here on Sunday morning. We peddle. I don't know about the profiting type of thing, but we peddle. And a lot of people you can talk to in a secular world will say, well, the point of my existence is to climb the ladder, is to collect and to climb. And Zacchaeus, I'm not making direct associations, but he peddled and he profited and he collected and he climbed. He lived life from a certain level to go up, to climb, to pedal, and that's what he did. He collected and he climbed. There he was today running. His whole life was a hustle. It was no different, but he was running today in a really weird way. The wealthy don't have to run for anything. Men didn't run in that day. It was undignified for a man to run because if you wore long flowing robes, especially if you were wealthy, you'd have to hike those things up and expose your skin, and people thought that was undignified. You could send your servants to get things for you. You didn't have to run for anything, especially if you had money. But here he is, running. And not only running, but he's climbing a tree. He's climbing a sycamore tree. And I could see, if I'm a bystander of a people he's stolen money from, looking at him and saying, look at him. He's not only running, but he's climbing a tree. Does he have no shame, Zacchaeus? Does he have no shame? He's taking this shame thing to a completely different, help me, level. Thanks for being awake. He's gone to another level completely. You would think, given his reputation, it'd be in Zacchaeus' best interest to lay low, to remain small, to remain little. Why make yourself more visible to a people, to a group of people who already hate your guts, and also visible to a Lord who proclaims that he is the fulfillment of the law? And you know what the law says about stealing? It's one of the commands right up there on the tablet that Moses brought, thou shalt not steal. Why would you ever go to such lengths to make yourself more visible, not only to that group, but to a Lord who's passing by? I'm convinced the money must have messed with his mind. The group probably thought he was crazy to climb that tree and to ever think that he'd reach the rabbi. Because why? He's one of them. He's not one of us. He's one of them. He's one of those. And I think we all have a them or a those.
Why would he ever be so crazy to think that Jesus would turn his attention to him? He's a Republican, or he's a Democrat, or he's the enemy, or he's the opposite, or he lives on that side of town, or that side of the tracks. He's why the world is the way that it is. He's the problem. He's the one you love the least, whoever it might be. What a joke to think that Jesus would ever go so far for someone who was so far gone. But he did, and he does. Jesus goes so far for a folk who feel they're so far gone. He does it, and Jesus does so and takes things on a completely different, help me, level. Let's continue on with the scripture there in verse 5 through 10. Zacchaeus not only climbed the tree, he was used to climbing, maybe not trees, but he was used to climbing. It says in verse 5 that after he climbed the tree, when Jesus came to that place, he came to the tree. He came to that place that nobody thought he'd come to. And he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry, Zacchaeus, and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Wow. Jesus made himself a guest at the house of one who everybody hated. And so Zacchaeus, scripture says, hurried down, and he was happy to welcome him. And in verse 7 it says, all who saw it began to grumble. The crowd who saw it began to grumble, and they said, look, he's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood there, and he said to the Lord, "Lord, look, half my possessions I'll give to the poor. It doesn't matter. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay back four times as much." Wow. He really did have a lot of money. "I'll pay back four times as much." And then Jesus said, this is strange, "Today salvation has come to this house, for he too is a son of Abraham." And then he said to the rest of them, "For the Son of Man came for a reason, and it's this. The Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." And that's where we stop. I offer you another living word of God for living people. And we say, Jesus goes to the tree that nobody thought Jesus would go to. And when he stopped at the tree and he addressed Zacchaeus and he said, "Come down and I want to have supper at your house. I got to stay at your house." There was a people who saw it and they began to grumble. All who saw it, scripture says, began to grumble in verse 7. And I'm not so sure that I'd be very keen on a grumbling crowd, because Jesus was an itinerant preacher, and a lot of United Methodist preachers are itinerant, moving from place to place, or itinerant, moving from place to place to ministry. And as one who's also itinerant, a grumbling crowd isn't something I would want to include on my charge conference report. I wouldn't. I wouldn't want a grumbling crowd to be on my pastor's evaluation. That wouldn't be a good mark for me. I think, though, for a moment of full disclosure, as clergy, it's tempting to cater to the crowd. Because in a culture of consumers, isn't the congregation with the largest crowd deemed king? Isn't the congregation with the largest crowd crowned the king? You know, if the crowd be the litmus for success, you would think that Jesus would do all that he could to win them. Because we're enamored with the numbers. It's funny that Jesus wasn't. It's funny, and it's also convicting that he wasn't. He never really cared about the crowd. In fact, Jesus would do things intentionally, effectively, to clear a crowd. And brothers and sisters, nothing will clear a crowd faster than a Christ who so consistently goes to levels that move us beyond our comfort. Because we want a Lord who will stay at our what? Level.
We want a Lord who will stay at our level. We want a Lord who will never break a boundary, who will never beckon us to go beyond. We want a Lord who will show up on demand and then let up when life gets a little too Jesus-y. We want a Lord who will jump when we say jump. We want a Lord who will worship as long as it's not too hot and as long as it's not too cold and as long as it's not too long and as long as He doesn't require anything from us or ask us to sacrifice the Almighty schedule. We want a Lord that will stay on our level. But you know what's scary, brothers and sisters? Jesus never really seemed concerned about the size of the crowd. It seemed that in every instance scripturally, He cared more about the size of their commitment. Let me ask a question in light of this note. Because Jesus decisively did things that would clear crowds. How far would you follow Jesus? Really? I know it's Sunday morning and we're dressed up and we're at church, but how far? How far would you follow Him? Would you follow Him to a homeless shelter? Would you follow Him to someone's house that you don't know to assist them and give them gifts that they may not deserve? How far would you follow Jesus? Because if you follow Jesus far enough, He'll take you all the way to the tree on which the foulest offender hangs. And there will always be voices on either side. There will be a crowd that grumbles. There'll be voices on either side. There'll be some grumbles and there'll be gratitude. And we'll have to pick which group we're going to be a part of. A group that makes a practice of grumbling over the places that Jesus leads us, or gratitude because He did. We'll either grumble because He stopped, or we'll be gratified because He did. And friends, there will always be those voices. But you know, there's a big difference. There's a huge difference in the complexion of somebody that follows or pursues Jesus because they want something from Him, and somebody who follows Jesus because they need Him more than anything life can offer. So should it be such a surprise that Jesus bypasses the crowd? That Jesus bypasses a crowd full of fans who are full of themselves in order to talk to the one who is empty of the world and desperate to see Him, desperate to know Him, desperate for a different view. Not just starving for another shot, brothers and sisters, but scratching and climbing for another story. Another narrative. Brothers and sisters, look at what happens to the ones who care enough to climb. Look at what happens to the ones who are crazy enough to climb. Zacchaeus climbed the sycamore. I submit, brothers and sisters, because he was sick of more. You like that? I didn't intend to get any laughs. People laugh at the things I don't think are funny and don't laugh at the things I think are. He climbed the sycamore because he was sycamore. And I could just hear him saying, you know, I'm sick of living life at a specific level that I thought would deliver. I'm sick of living this way. I thought that more money would mend things, and so do we. I thought that when I got the promotion and I soared the chief status, that I would earn the respect and the attention of my peers. I thought that the business that I had built would compensate for the bridges that I burned to get there. I thought that as long as I looked out for number one, that life would look different, and I did. And it doesn't. I thought that as long as I took care of me, that life would look different. And so I did take care of me, and life doesn't look different. What do you do, brothers and sisters, when you discover that which you thought would deliver the ultimate has only left you disappointed? And we live in a world surrounded by people, and even inside the church, that feel that the whole of life is to get done with the next day, to pedal and to climb. We live in that kind of a world. But what do you do when that which you thought would deliver the ultimate has only left you disappointed? Zacchaeus is saying, now I'm realizing that all my climbing and all my pedaling, that none of it's worth much without real relationship, and I can't buy it. I'm sick of more. What are you sick of? There's lots of things that I'm sick of complacency. I'm sick of more division. I'm sick of more disunity. I'm sick of more of screaming across the aisle. I'm sick of more arguing. I'm sick of more doing nothing. Zacchaeus was sick of more, and there's Zacchaeus. He says, "I got a great portfolio, but no peace. I make great profit margins, but I have no peace. I've got a cozy pillow to sleep on at night in a wonderful home, but I am restless." And so he's climbing today. He's doing more moving. He's running, not for another profit, but for another perspective. He wanted to see life from another what? Help me. Thank you. And the fact that the Savior stops there, he stopped. The fact that the Savior stopped at the tree should be a signpost for all those of us who, for whatever reason, thought that they were too far gone, who thought that they blew it, that a second chance is merely a step away, and it's not a step up. That holiness is still looking to be housed in the most unlikeliest of places, within the most unlikeliest of people. Look, Jesus invites himself. He says, "Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house today. Not maybe, or I might, or I'm thinking about it." He said, "I must stay with you." Not so much that he wanted to show Zacchaeus something, and I'm sure that he did, because like Zacchaeus' life was changed, but he wanted to show something to the crowd who thought they were following. How far would you follow? What level would you go with Jesus? Jesus invites himself into the home of one of the most hated, and when he did, he changed his heart. And because his heart was changed, his house was changed. And the more his house was changed, the more it was a reflection of Zacchaeus' heart being changed. And I want to close by saying that nobody would have ever expected Jesus to address the thief in the tree, because that's what Zacchaeus was. Nobody expected Jesus to address the thief in the tree, but guess what? It wouldn't be the last time. We read this text and we say, "Oh, it's crazy that Zacchaeus ran to the tree to reach the rabbi." But the crazy good news about the Gospels, brothers and sisters, in case you don't know, is that God ran to the tree to reach us. See? The higher you go for God, the greater your view of yourself and the broader your vantage of your place in the world. When you go to new levels for the Lord, you realize that the Lord's already gone to new levels for you. Zacchaeus didn't know that when he climbed the tree that that was a plan that God was willing to do from the beginning for him. Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." And if that's true, Zacchaeus wasn't looking for Jesus. Jesus was looking for him, and when he found him, he called the thief out of the tree, and in the fullness of time, took our place on it. Not just to release us from guilt, but to free us for good. Not just to spare us from something, but to save us for something. And guess what, friends? It's not ourselves. It's for another, help me, story. Another story. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, if you want to see life from a completely different level, the way up for you is down. If you keep your life for yourself, you'll lose it," Jesus says. "But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll end up finding it in pockets of places that you never were before." And so the moment Zacchaeus stepped down out of the tree was the first step he was taking towards salvation. And he said, "Lord, I don't care anymore. If I've defrauded anybody of anything, I'll give half my living to anybody. And if I've defrauded them four times the amount, I'll repay." And Jesus said, "Salvation's come to this house." That's a strange saying. Jesus didn't say that this man, the salvation has come to this house because of the money that he was going to repay. Had nothing to do with that. It's just that Zacchaeus was finally free and liberated from the things that bound him. And it wasn't his money. It was himself. It wasn't his money. It was his mindset about it. And the second he took the step down was the second salvation came.
because his life was reoriented. It was different. Christ Church, you want to transform the world? Really? Do you really want to transform the world? Jesus said to Zacchaeus, it's not in the clawing upward. It's not in the clawing upward, but it's the climbing down. The climbing down. Discipleship is a one step down at a time endeavor. And the more you crouch down to serve as opposed to climbing up for self, the more you find life in places you didn't know it. Here we behold a Zacchaeus moment. What would it look like of a Zacchaeus movement? Not just an individual case of one life being changed, but whole swarms of people being part of a movement. Another story, a different level. Jesus says, the further you descend, the more you look like me, the closer to me you get. It's a one step down at a time, discipleship is. Would you do it? Would you do it? Would you take a step down today? Take a step down this afternoon? Would you live a life that is a step down from what other people are used to living and thus being part of a greater story? There are members of this faith community, both present and gone to glory, that chose to make their story part of God's story, a greater story, and make his story. In small yet significant ways, Marty is here with her husband. We love Anna K. Dean. You know what Anna K. made a decision to do? She made a decision to be part of another story, a story that succeeds her, a story that's bigger than her. You know what she did? She saw it fit to buy upper rooms for everybody in this church for as long as we'll need them, so that anybody that comes and gets an upper room to read a devotion can read it without having to pay for it. That's what she wanted. And so Anna Kay's story extends because she made her story part of God's story. And because of that goes to another what? Can we not make a decision daily to go down one step at a time and therein get closer to Jesus? I pray we dare not miss the view. And all of God's children said.
On behalf of all of us here at Christ Church, I want to thank you for hanging out and tuning in. Continue to check us out online, but better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings, starting at 8:30 a.m. in the chapel, or 11 o'clock in our main sanctuary. Until then, may God bless you so that you can bless others.